Hello, just before we start this week's episode of Enough, just to let you know, this is the first of a two-part mini-series where we talk about coffee. We're joined by some fantastic guests, three fantastic guests, in fact, for these two shows. So just to let you know, they are recorded over Skype, which is different for us as we usually record locally. So where the quality is still good, it's not up to the usual standards of Enough, and that will be resumed as soon as these two-part episodes are done. Please enjoy, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So, Pat, this is a two-part episode.
Where we discuss coffee with a bunch of coffee nerds and geeks, and I get to just kind of sit back and learn a bunch of stuff.
Exactly.
It's going to be great.
And we're going, I mean, coffee is one of them things where there's loads of processes and practices and equipment and ways that you can do it, and it seems to be a geek's drink because of the amount of customization involved.
It can get real fiddly real fast. I mean, this is not like this isn't the sort of drink that is, say, a non-fiddly approved sort of thing. I mean, you can keep it simple, but you know, I mean, you can seriously kind of get real nerdy real quick with it.
Now, me and you aren't necessarily coffee connoisseurs. We enjoy coffee, but we're not their big guns, are we, Pat?
Well, I mean, I guess my thing is that I enjoy a well-made cup of coffee. I just often don't take the time to make that cup of coffee.
So we decided that we needed to bring in some heavy hitters.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't you run through? Who do we have with us?
We have Mr. Brett Kelly.
Woo!
Hello, Brett.
Hello.
Mr. Chris Bowler.
Hey, folks.
And Mr. Sean Blanc.
Hello.
How you doing?
Wow. I mean, this is pretty much like the Yankees starting lineup of coffee drinkers here. So I'm pretty jazzed. I'm pretty excited.
Handpicked.
It's gonna be awesome.
So there's sort of like four sort of topics that we're gonna run through over the next two episodes, which are each individual's coffee history, why they choose coffee, will be this episode, and the next episode we'll be discussing the coffee setups. And their sort of brewing times and practices, what their processes are. And we're going to throw over to each individual in a blind date style.
What?
I made that bit up. We're not doing it.
There was no mention of dating.
Sorry.
For number one. Right, so, Brett, as number one, as coffee drinker number one, would you like to discuss with us sort of how you came into coffee and why you choose coffee over any other drink?
Not really.
Okay, well, thank you.
Why I got into coffee? Well, I started drinking coffee when I was about, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And the first few times I tried it, I really, really hated it because it tasted like turpentine. Mostly because I was drinking like Taster's Choice or whatever crap my parents had in the house. They didn't drink coffee. But I started going to Starbucks and stuff and getting a bunch of extremely sweet milk and espresso-based drinks. And it sort of grew on me. And after a while, I just started drinking regular coffee. And around that time, I got a job working at what is now, well, a coffee shop that no longer exists around here. And I worked there for a year and a half. And over that time, I became very acquainted both with coffee that I liked and like the how to make it, the various ways you could make it. And such like. And since then, I've gotten into home roasting and more specialty type stuff.
So you're really, really into it big time now.
You have no idea.
I'm sure we're going to find out about a lot of the gadgetry that you use later on.
Oh, man. It's awesome. So, and as far as why I don't drink other stuff, actually, I do. I'm a big fan of energy drinks, and that's not a joke. Even though they're horrible for you, and I totally admit that. As far as tea, I do drink tea every now and again. But the problem for me with tea is when tea comes off of the boil, as you guys might say, it's really, really freaking hot, and hotter than coffee when it's first brewed, and at least in my experience. And it takes a really long time to cool off. And it's a much more active like brewing process as well, like the whole steeping with the dunking of the bag and all the ceremony. So unless I'm going to curl up with like Jane Eyre, I typically like something that I can sort of set down, let it go, and then, you know, come back when it's done.
I'm not but sure she'll appreciate the tea.
Yeah, you know. But I do like tea. I don't dislike the beverage necessarily, as long as it's not crap.
Fair play.
I don't abide crap, Mike.
No, I know this of you. Kelly Good. Takes no crap.
That's right.
Mr. Bowler, what about you, sir? Like, how did you discover coffee?
I did write about this one time. I was not a coffee drinker. I came to coffee quite late in life, I think around 30 or so. Again, I think I associated a lot with smoking because my parents always did the two in tandem when I was a kid, and smoking always turned me off, so coffee was kind of lumped in there. But at some point I went on a bit of a cleanse, and for this particular cleanse, fermented beverages like tea, which goes through a fermentation process, were not allowed. So I was a fairly heavy tea drinker at the time. But black coffee was allowed, so I tried it. And from then on, I think I was just pretty much hooked. I couldn't have the coffee with any sugar or milk, so I was just drinking it black. And once I powered down the first couple of cups and benefited from the resulting jolt, I was hooked. And I've been drinking it ever since.
So you choose coffee over all other all other types of drink now?
No, I'm pretty balanced. I do enjoy tea quite a bit. I'm like Brett. I don't want to drink crap. So whether it's my tea or my coffee, I try to get a good source, something of good quality. But yeah, I really enjoy tea. I enjoy the process, taking the time to make a good pot. And I usually every day would involve coffee in the mornings and probably tea in the afternoon.
Oh. But coffee is your preferred?
Or? Yeah, I would say so. I mean, just because it comes with a little more punch, a little more nitro.
For the morning kick.
Yep, I like those early mornings with the hot cup of coffee.
Good times. What about you, Sean? How did you come to coffee?
Coffee. Yes.
The elixir of Blanc.
My dad is a big coffee fanatic. But what's funny is that I wasn't allowed to drink coffee until I was 16 years old because they were afraid it would stunt my growth, all the caffeine, which I guess worked out. Like, I, you know, come from a pretty short family. I'm 5'8" and I'm the tallest one. So I guess it worked. So not only was my dad a big coffee fan, but they did the opposite of Chris. My folks would brew tea in the morning, and then my dad would usually brew coffee in the evening after dinner.
That sounds dangerous.
Nice.
Nobody slept awesome. In Sean's house.
And so that plus not being allowed to drink coffee until I was 16, it was like a slingshot. And as soon as I turned 16, I started drinking coffee, but then actually I didn't really like it. But I kind of forced myself to drink it because I felt like I'd been deprived for so long that I was going to like it whether I liked it or not. The foo-foo drinks, like a frappuccino or a latte or something like that. And then I moved out to Kansas City and got a job where I was going in at 6 a.m. in the mornings. And so I started drinking coffee to help wake me up. And I would just brew it just in the coffee pot. I had a friend who worked at Starbucks, so we would grind the beans up the night before, put them in the Mr. Coffee drip coffee maker, set the timer for 5:45 in the morning, and then wake up and there would be the hot cup of coffee ready to go. And I started drinking that and that's kind of how I got used to just regular brew your own coffee at home, and then just slowly over time just started acquiring a taste for regular coffee and then acquiring a taste for well-brewed regular coffee, and now it's kind of part of my day.
So why do you do you like the others? Do you have other beverages? Are you a tea fan also, or is it, you know, all coffee all the time?
Yeah, my wife and I do have tea regularly. Usually now I tea in the evenings usually, so I'll have a cup of coffee in the morning. We've got a cupboard full. I actually have more tea than I do coffee at the house. We have all sorts of different varieties of black and green and decaf and regular and all sorts of kinds. whereas I just have one can of coffee beans. So
why is
and
that?
And we drink tea.
Why do you just have the one, like, so much selection of tea but not so much of coffee?
Well, I think tea lasts longer. You can buy a bag, or maybe it doesn't, and I just can't tell the difference between fresh tea and stale tea. I mean, we just buy the boxes from the grocery store. We don't have any kind of fancy loose leaf. I'm not quite as nerdy about drinking tea as I am about coffee.
Who is that disapproving?
That was me. A little tease. Find yourself a good loose leaf retailer and get the good stuff.
I'm a fan of Adagio, who Dave Kalo mentioned to me before, and I'd used them for a while. And I've had lots of fruit teas from them. And they do lots of interesting flavors as well. And they ship them sort of worldwide in these little canisters.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate like a good loose leaf tea, and I enjoy the brewing process of tea, but I don't. It's not as I don't have as much energy for it as I do for brewing. Well, actually, I don't even have that much energy for brewing coffee as well. I've just kind of figured out the easiest way to brew the best cup of coffee, and that's what I do.
Good stuff.
So
now, Mr. Roan, we come to you. You have to compete with these monsters.
I'm no competition, you see, because as I think I already stated. I enjoy a good cup of coffee. In general, with the kids, both my wife and I working for ourselves, and having any number of things, we're having to run Beatrix out the door to daycare and now preschool and everything else. We just kind of have the standard, the much chagrined by this group's drip coffee. Get the giant bag of coffee from Costco, whatever the dark roast season is, and just let it sit open half the time. Grind it with a standard cheap $20 blade grinder. And throw it into a drip maker, press the go button, and 5 minutes later we've got coffee. Now that doesn't mean what?
I was gonna say a big hot pot of mediocrity.
Yes, a big
Nothing starts your day like mediocrity.
My grandmother. My grandmother used to brew like that, and she would put the pot on in the morning, and she would just leave it there all day and just drink the whole pot.
Through
the whole day.
And we make enough for the one cup that we have, that we each have, along with a little bit extra. I generally only drink one cup. I'm one of those people that's pretty heavily affected by caffeine. And so I have to be very careful, not only with how much I drink, but when I drink it and that sort of thing. So usually she'll make enough so she can have a second cup in a travel mug. But quite frankly, the travel mugs are more expensive than our coffee maker. No joke. And I think just by my saying that, at least two of the coffee drinkers here I know what travel mugs she uses. but I mean, I really do enjoy when a nice pot is made. And if I'm out and about and it's like, okay, I'm going to go have coffee with somebody, I'm much more picky, strangely enough, about where we're going and the quality of the coffee there. Like, I could care less if it's at home in the morning, but if I'm going to go out for coffee with somebody and pay for it, then it matters. I don't know why I have that disconnect in my mind, but we do.
Maybe you just don't want to embarrass yourself in front of people by drinking bad coffee.
That could be part of it. But I think, I don't know. I think the other part of it too is that it's almost like going out to eat a meal. I want to have a meal that is as good, if not better, you know, or I should say that if I'm going to go out and have a meal, then I want to have a meal that I, you know, feel is better than I would have at home, or I couldn't easily make myself at home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a nicer meal if I'm going to go out, and I'm willing to spend the extra money that that might entail. And maybe I have that same approach to coffee. I'm going to have a better cup of coffee going out.
Okay.
You know, than I would at home.
Mm-hmm. I just imagine Patrick like inviting someone for coffee and then driving him to a gas station.
Well, that I will say,
welcome
that
is the best St. Paul has to offer, buddy.
Is the other thing, and I'm sure we'll get into this later in the episode. But I will just say that I have two coffee places that I regularly go to that make incredibly excellent coffee, and one of them has a clover machine, which we can talk about. Mm-hmm. We talk about equipment and stuff like that, but they got a clover before Starbucks bought the clover, and these are people who really, you know, they personally source their beans, and you know, and have the clover programmed for processing, you know, those things that they particularly source. And the I mean, every cup is you know, like a travel journal. No, you know, it's just fantastic. Now, so
I think that probably, well, definitely of everyone, I have the worst coffee habits. I'm sort of, as the other guys are saying, I'm sort of young into my coffee life, and at the moment mainly consists of Starbucks drinks and this horrific instant coffee that I get made for me at work, like just powder and then add water, that sort of coffee. I know it's horrible, and it really, I mean, it's very nice that I get made it every morning, but it tastes just like water with powder in it. But you know, it gives me the kick that I need in the morning sometimes. So, and like one of the reasons that this episode is happening is because I wanted to extend and get some equipment and start doing my own stuff at home. So I was asking Brett and Sean for some advice, in regards to what they could suggest. And so after that, I thought, well, I need to share all this sort of stuff with the world because it was very good advice. So, well, I mentioned about getting the kick that coffee gives me, because it does, like, it still gives me a caffeine kick. Does it still do that for all of you guys? Do you still, when you drink coffee, get that kick, or do you think it's, or has it gone for you, or do you think that it's now more of a mental thing than anything else? Anybody?
I still get the kick if I drink enough.
Yeah?
It's generally much more than a single cup, but yeah.
What about you, Chris? Do you still, when you drink your coffee in the mornings, do you still feel like that sets you up for the day?
Oh, definitely. Yep. I mean, I notice if I don't have it, that's for sure. But yeah, the first cup and a half, 2 cups, you know, you get a little bit of a jolt. And then unless I drink, you know, a really large amount, 5 or 6 cups, that's when I start to feel over-caffeinated. But otherwise, it's just the first cup and a half where I really feel that the day is getting off to the right start.
Are those 5 cups back to back?
Yeah, and probably, you know, within a, say, 8 to 12, something like that. You definitely have those days where you drink a little more than you need to, and I definitely feel that. I'm probably like Patrick, where I do get affected by my caffeine more than a lot of people do, so I have to be careful, definitely in the afternoon.
I just imagine you sort of standing at the kitchen counter with 5 cups of coffee lined
boom,
up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, just slamming it back.
No.
What about you, Sean? When you drink your coffee, does it set you up for the day's writing ahead?
I think so. I mean, I definitely know if I don't have a cup of coffee, it kicks in a couple hours later that I didn't. And the day's kind of shot from there. But I think more than the caffeine, it's, you know, for me, it's just sitting down and kind of being quiet for a little bit with the coffee. And it just helps. It's, you know, it's just part of that routine in the morning of like, I'm still a little groggy from waking up. This is a chance to just kind of be quiet, let my mind rest, kind of settle, prepare for the day, things like that. And so I think the caffeine is as helpful as the quiet time that accompanies the drinking of the coffee for me.
Where do you
So get, it's both.
Where do you get your beans from, Sean?
Costco.
Okay.
So there's you're a, like me.
I am. Well, there's actually a local roastery here called The Roastery, and they sell beans at our local Costco. So I actually get them pretty inexpensively there, though I'm on the verge of getting a popcorn popper and start air roasting.
Mm.
So they're not like Costco own brand beans. You're buying them from Costco, but they're coming from somewhere better.
Correct. But even Costco brand, the Kirkland brand, is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that.
There's a balance between, because I go through about 3/4 of a pound a week, and if you're buying really good coffee, that can cost you $20-25 a week, and if you never go over the edge to where you know ignorance is bliss, right? And so as long as I'm sticking with the stuff like the Costco brand, even and then the Roastery brand, I can get a pound or the 3 pounds for like $15, and that's a really, really good deal. And the coffee is actually is very good, actually.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say about the Costco brand is that we. Because we buy according to roast, i.e., we're dark roast people. Every so often, Costco switches out what that they generally carry in their own brand. They'll carry a dark roast, a medium roast, and a light roast, or sometimes there'll be two medium roasts. But almost always, there'll be a dark roast there. But where they source the beans for that dark roast can change on a fairly consistent basis. I find it changes about once every couple of months. So one time you'll walk in and the dark roast will be Guatemalan. And then the next time you'll walk in and the dark roast will be Kenyan. Or something like that. But where they source the beans from can change, and so that for simple drinkers such as we, my wife and I, it provides variety. So it's not just like, we're just always going to get Folgers and da da da, that we do appreciate some variety even in our standard drip roast. And I bet you anything that if we were to step up our brewing game, that we would appreciate that variety even more.
Sean mentioned a popcorn popper to roast your own beans, and mm-hmm. I must say that Pat, you've got to put in Randy Murray's been doing loads of great coffee posts this week on his blog, and he showed a video of how he pops his beans using a popcorn popper. He roasts them, and I thought that was really cool. So I thought it might be worth something showing, just to show like sort of why something like a popcorn popper could help you in roasting your beans. It just, when I read it originally, I was like, surely I'm reading this wrong.
I've got one of those popcorn poppers, and I'm waiting to find some good beans to give it a try, because it seems like another way to just have that finer control over the end cup.
So where do you?
I can help you with that.
Oh, go for it.
I was talking to Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to find beans. I can help. Oh, publicly? Okay. Mm. So you can get.
Sorry. What,
that wasn't my kid.
Does this have to be in private?
No, I just heard a child talk and it made me laugh.
Oh,
take it easy, Mike. So I get my beans from three places typically. You can get them at sweetmarias.com, which is sort of the de facto coffee nerd equipment website where you can buy roasters and brewers and all sorts of other crap. And they sell unroasted coffee. It's kind of expensive there. It's actually quite a bit more expensive than most places, but you can get it. There's another place which I'm going to stop using because they're kind of lame, but it's called the Green Coffee Buying Club. In fact, don't bother. Don't go there. The place is called Coffee Shrub, which they sell. The only downside to Coffee Shrub is they sell beans in like really large quantities. So I had the smallest increment you can order from them is 30 pounds. So I just had a 30-pound box of coffee show up at my house yesterday. So if you can find somebody, you know, in your area who's willing to like go halvesies or maybe tensies, so you don't have a buttload of coffee, you can do that. But it's actually really, really inexpensive from there and from most places if you buy green coffee.
Well, and green coffee, as I say, green coffee, by the time when it's green like that, it's dormant and it'll last forever. Mm-hmm. Or at least a couple of years.
It stays fresh for the shelf life for green coffee. That's if you vacuum seal it. I'm not super anal about this. I just let it sit there. But you can get away with about a year, I'm told.
And so 30 pounds in a year, that's pretty good.
Well, I split it three ways with a doctor friend of mine and my brother. So I have 10 pounds, which I'll go through in about 3.5-4 months.
Wow, so 30 pounds would have lasted a long time.
Yeah. Well, you don't yield an even pound for a pound of green coffee. Once you roast it, it gets lighter. So you'll probably get about maybe 70 or 80% yield on that.
Okay.
So it'll work out to less than 10 pounds. But yeah.
Good stuff.
Boom. Brett, how do you... Oh, I guess this is next episode.
Yeah.
I want to know how you roast it.
Let's use that as a tease. How about...
Panel. When we come back next week...
And then you will find out. All will I will be leave revealed. Sean
to stew on this for an entire week.
There's this new website that's called If This Then That, you know?
It's a great, great, interesting site. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I set up an alert so that whenever there's a, because I'm on the lookout for a good old air popper, popcorn popper to start air roasting the coffee beans with. And so I set up an alert for Craigslist here in Kansas City that when someone adds to the popcorn popper search results, then I get an email. So I'm on the lookout.
That's a service that it's in my brain to go and look at, but I have not yet checked it out. But it just it seems like it could be more powerful than I could quite consume. Like I just feel like it's one of the things you could probably sit in it for hours.
Yeah, I saw someone earlier today describe it online as Yahoo Pipes for normal people.
Yeah,
which I thought was a very apt description.
Great.
So we've completely gotten off topic here.
Yeah, I think that we may nearly wrap up this episode unless anybody has anything that they would like to share.
Well, I never got to the tea thing, and I wanted to, because I wanted to at least feel like, you know, I had some level of confidence at something with this group.
Well, then please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
So here's the interesting thing about tea for us, and that is that Bethany spent a good 2.5 years in Southeast Asia. She lived in Taiwan. And taught English as a second language there. But Taiwanese work visas are next to impossible to get for foreigners. And so the way that they handle that is they allow foreigners to come in on 6-week tourist visas, and they schedule their ESL classes for 6 weeks with 2-week breaks in between. So that you come for 6 weeks, you teach, they pay you in cash under the table. No one knows the better. Well, everyone knows, but, you know, everyone turns a blind eye. And then you get to leave and travel all around Southeast Asia for a couple of weeks and then come back for another 6-week stint. And so she did this for like 2.5 years. And because of that, we still to this day have a huge basket in our pantry full of wonderful native Chinese, Japanese, you know, Thai. I mean, you name it. We've got teas from, you know, that country. Loose leaf, everything from green to oolongs to rubios to, to black. I mean, you name it. And I often will take the time in the evening to brew, say, you know, just pretty much pick one at random that I've never had before and brew it. And it's just always simply fantastic. Because some of the stuff you're getting from real rural tea growing areas that, you know, she happened to go and visit just as a tourist. So.
So there you go.
Yeah.
How long is tea good for?
Tea, well, and this was years and years and years ago. So I'm sure, you know, some of it by now might be past its prime, but brews up just fine. I don't necessarily notice, you know, it tastes great. You know, so I guess the answer to the question is I don't know, but this stuff is pretty old.
Word.
And I've not lost any brain cells yet.
Nope.
Well,
at least not.
Let's not be hasty.
Well, it's not the tea. Trust me, it's not the tea.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on this episode, and I hope that you'll stick around for a few days until we can come to the next one.
Yeah, I'll be here.
So there you go, Pat, if you want to sign us off.
Yeah, well, I guess that means we'll talk later.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye. Bye.
I snuck in the British cheers at the end.
It was nice. Fantastic. I picked it up.